screen?
Yes.
Okay, can you tell me that MQ you are aware? Eis asher yeshad b'yeretz Mitzrayim, asher Moshe Rabbeinu yishad v'tal Yisrael, this is Shlishi. This is Shlishi. You know, ki eis asher yeshad b'yeretz, you are well aware of this, that we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, the eis asher avar b'yeretz kev ha-goyim, and you are well aware of how we have traveled through the nations, asher avartem, which you have passed. It's a very interesting pasuk, because this pasuk is telling us that when Klal Yisrael traveled in the desert, it says that we've traveled b'kerev ha-goyim. And that's a little bit surprising, because Klal Yisrael seemingly did not travel amongst the Goyim. They were in the desert, and the desert is a place of nothingness. There was no one there. They were totally, totally isolated. And when they came to Edom, Edom did not want them to allow passage, so they circumvented them. They traveled on a different road. Over here, the Pasuk states, as a matter of fact, the Jewish people, they traveled amongst the Goyim. When you say the Goyim, it sounds like the 70 nations of the world. It seems, you know, it would seem that the Goyim didn't even know Klal Yisrael existed. I mean, they were in the desert, but Ad Kedei Kach to say such a statement? But that's what it says. Let's see Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Tesvav, yeah? Mark, I'm listening.
It says,
I can't, can you hear me or is it choppy?
That's right.
I didn't hear what word you said. Lays, is it choppy? Did you hear me what I just said? Or is it choppy?
Hello?
Hello, you hear me? All right, internet's not working. Let me switch over to 1 second. This is very strange. 1 second, please. Moment. Okay. All right. Hear me now? How about now?
I hear you.
Now it's better?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
I switched to my phone.
Question.
Okay, yeah, I'm listening.
No, do you hear my question? I don't know.
No, I miss your question. I miss your question. Say it again. Say it again. Yeah.
So when did this happen?
40 years ago. 40 years, you know, Ace, that which, Asher Yoshavnu, we have dwelt in the land of Egypt. 40 years ago, Moshe Rabbeinu over here is speaking on the day of his death. Parashas Nitzavim was said on the day that he died. So this is the very end of 40 years. It's been 40 years since they left Egypt. Most of Klal Yisrael, I mean, many people died. Anyone over the age of 20 and above, minus 600,000 people, minus 15,000, the last 18, what is it, 18,000? There was a small people who survived. Hashem forgave them. But the vast majority of people that he's speaking to are younger people. People who were below 20 at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. So the people now, they are about almost 60 years old. He's speaking to Klal Yisrael. Approximately they're 60 years old. And most of the people that he's speaking to, but the oldest people, they were under the age of 20 when they left Egypt. So they were teenagers. They were teenagers when they left Mitzrayim, and now here they are 40 years later, and he says to them, you are well aware, Eis asher yeshavnu b'yeretz Mitzrayim, ve'eis asher avarnu b'kerev ha'goyim asher avartem. You're well aware of what happened in the history of Klal Yisrael. That's what he says. So let's see what Rashi. Rashi says here in this pasuk, ki atem yidatem, v'tir, and Rashi goes into the next pasuk. Let's just read the next pasuk. Okay, we'll do something together. V'tiru pasuk tezayin. When you were there, you saw as shikutzehem. You saw their disgusting things. A shikutz is something which is detestable. The ace gilulehem, their abominations. Okay, I don't know the exact translation of these two words. Maybe you can help me. These two words basically means things that are detestable. Namely, avodazara. Different things, different ways of life is a general term describing what we'll see in more detail. Shikutzehem and Gilulehem. Gilulehem usually refers to Avodah Zarah, and it's called a Golol. Golol means waste, animal or human waste. And we're comparing the lifestyle, the values, the culture of the Umas Olam to Golol. And Shikutz is also something disgusting. Eitz or Eden, they have wood, stone, kesef, silver, vizav, gold, asher imohem. Okay, two psukim. Let's see Rashi in these two psukim. You witnessed the Goyim worship idols. V'shema hisi lev echad mikem oso loleches acharehem. Perhaps hisi means to incite the heart of one of you. Maybe here in the entire Klal Yisrael, which we don't even know what the numbers are, it's at least 3 million. Over 40 years, we assume that the population grew very, very much. It's at least 3 million people. Maybe, among the 3 million people that are present, there's one person whose heart is inciting him or enticing him to follow l'leches acharayam, to follow in the ways of the idolaters and worship idols. Okay, let's see now what it says over here in the right. Vatir, it's the next Rashi. Vatir, you witness es shekutzayam al shem shem mu'usim ki shekotzim. An avodah zarah in this passage be compared to a sheketz. What is a sheketz? It's a sheketz. Rashi here says a creepy crawler. So I told you, word shekutzim means disgusting things. It's what it means. It means disgusting. But the more literal translation is we're calling them shirotzim. Shekotzim means disgusting, creepy crawlers. These large insects, water bugs, and a lot worse than that. Gilulehem shem musrochim. They smell. Umeusin. They are disgusting. Kigolol, like animal and human waste. Eitz v'aven oison shel ad eitzim v'shel avonim reisim begolui. The idols made from wood and from stone you saw in the open. They're not afraid that they will be stolen. Avol shel kesef is zahav. It says the word imohem. The silver and the gold idols were with them. The chedrei maskisam him in their inner chambers. Chedrei means the inner chambers. Maskisam, that word, I don't know what that word means. It means I think it means a room that was covered with marble. Maskisam. Hey, it's a name of a room that is a very beautiful room that you cover the floor with marble. Lefi Shem Yireim Shem Yiganvu. The reason why they have the gold and the silver idols indoors, not outdoors, is because they're afraid they're going to get stolen. Which is the biggest joke. If the idol can't protect itself, why do you think it can protect you? Mark, you hear the question? The idols can't protect themselves. They're gonna protect you? It's ridiculous. Shem Yiganvu. We talk about over here the Afghans. You tell them you'll fight. You can't even protect yourself. You're going to be able to go protect other people? Okay, it's a joke. Over here the idols they're afraid the idols being stolen. They have to go take them indoors. It's hilarious. Okay, over here let's see the first two people we're getting this in the Targum. Arei atun yidatun. Behold. You know, Yos Disevna, you have lived be'arod Mitzrayim in the land of Egypt. The Yos de Avarna b'nei Amamaya de Avartun, and you are well aware that you have passed between the nations that you have passed. He repeats the word Avartem. It says the pasuk word twice. The pasuk says ve'ezash Avarnu, asher Avartem, and indeed it says that word twice. Next, what happened? Vacha zeisoyim, you witnessed. Yos shikutzehoin, they're shikotzen, ugly, creepy crawler things, which really refers to Avodah Zarah. We're comparing it to the shikotzen. The yos ta'avoshoin. Now, gelulim is an idol. Now, the Targum always does this. An idol, he always translates with the word ta'avos. Ta'avos means a mistake. By a non-Jew, when a non-Jew worships an idol, he is making a mistake. He is attributing to the object that he worships more power than it really has. It has absolutely no power, but he's making a toos and he's giving it power. It's called a mistake. A always means wood. Okay, one thing we learned already, we learned that word, a couple of words we learned over the time, we're learning together different Aramaic words. Aleph, ayin, aleph means wood. It's a very interesting word. Aleph and Ayin, because that sounds the same to us. What do you have a word like this? Aleph and Aleph, it begins with an Aleph and it ends with an Aleph, has an Ayin in the middle, which basically is the same sound. Aleph and an Ayin, as far as we are concerned, is the same sound. So it's almost as if it says the word Aleph three times. A triple Aleph sound. Oh. The Avno is stone, Kaspa silver, Vidahabo, gold, the imhoy. Okay, these two psukim. Now let's see over here what it says over here in the Ma'at Sori. It says the imhoin, the gold and silver that is with them. Okay, that when Rashi explained that wood and stone, the idols were in the street. It did not say the word imohem with regard to wood and stone. It only said the word imohem with regard to gold and silver because they were afraid that it would be stolen, so they put it inside. Nira shamila hazu shabo el hagoyim shehiskir. This word shabo that he mentions regarding the goyim. Chaim perish tigers and mazil chaim Rashi becheder maskisam shari hamila tavo sehon loshen kevihi. So what's his question? His question over here is shamila zu shabo el hagoyim shehiskir. I don't know what he's saying. I really don't know what he's saying over here. Sham amila hazo shabo el hagoyim shehisker. They imhoy, the gold and silver was with the goyim. Okay, and tam chayper shashchil when they shari mila tavoy sehoyin loshen kevihi. It's feminine. Are you talking shetigim loshen zochem b'nei? Are you talking? All right, it's going on the goyim that I mentioned. What's his problem over here? Amila tavo sehoin loshen nikevi. It's a feminine word. And therefore must be going back on something that is feminine. And goyim, he's saying, is feminine. Okay, I don't know what it means. I'm sorry. I don't know what this means. Let's go further. That's it. Nothing more to say. Okay, no more comment. Now, one thing I do want to make mention of, being that we over here have a very goal of making machloek between Rashi and the Targum. And that is, and you read the Targum, then you go to Rashi. Rashi is only coming to comment on things that it says in the Targum. And Rashi says, okay, Rashi doesn't seem sure. Tira Shikutsim, you saw what the Umayyads did, Oivde Alilim, the Risim who Umayyads were Oivde Alilim, the Shema Hisi Lev Echad Mikem Oso, maybe the heart of one of you has incited you l'leches acharehem. Okay, let's leave that for now. And you saw there shikutzayhem al shem shem musim kashkosman. And here's maybe something more we can focus on. Gi lu lehem. Rashi appears here to disagree with the Targum. When Rashi translates the word gi lu lehem, he says shem musrochim, they smell umu usin, and they are disgusting ki golol. Targum didn't say that. Targum says something very profound. He calls Gilulehem, he calls them a mistake. To'avoshoim. It's a mistake. Rashi didn't like that word. He doesn't want to call the word Gilulehem idols a mistake. Rashi says the focus here of the pasuk here is to describe the Avodah Zorah as something which has an odor, a horrible odor, Gesundheit. And is repulsive. Because if the pasuk wants to just to make mention that the goyim have made a mistake, the word gilulehem is not the appropriate word. The pasuk should say vatiru, you saw as the avodah zarah shelohem. You witnessed the nations of the world bowing down to the stars, the moon, the suns. It would be a more generic term for idolatry. The pasuk would not get into the graphic description of shikutz and gilulehem, golol. Rashi over here in the beginning, the Targum says, you saw yas shikutzehoin. He doesn't explain, he just takes the same exact word in the pasuk. He's not explaining that word. But when it comes to the gilulehem, the Targum does indeed translate the word as golol, as a mistake. Rashi doesn't like that. Rashi, he says, first, Shikutzeim al Shem Shem Usim Kishkotzim. Okay, the Targum didn't say that. Targum didn't allude to that. It didn't go with disgusting creatures. And Gilulehem, Rashi clearly disagrees. He puts an entirely different emphasis that we didn't go with something which has an odor and then which is disgusting. Now, Eitz for Evan doesn't really explain. He just goes on and says that Eitz for Shalavon, that he looks at the word Imohen. That he does explain. All right, let's leave that. Let's go to the next one. Pasuk Yizayin. Pen Yesh. Now we come to a very important pasuk. Pasuk says, pen maybe. Pen, Yesh, Bochem Abba. We have to appreciate that there are two words of maybe. There is ulai, and there is the word pen. What is the difference between the word ulai and the word pen? They both basically mean the same thing. Maybe. The answer is, whenever you have the word ulai, you mean to say, I hope it will happen. Pen means, I hope it will not happen. Very important fundamental difference in these two words. These two words are basically our back, you would say they're interchangeable. What would happen if the pasuk would say here, ulai, perhaps, yesh bochem, there is amongst you the Jewish people, ish, a man, or isha, or mishpacha, or shevet, asher, that, levavo, his heart, fone hayom, it turns today, me'im Hashem lokim, lechus lavo, to go and worship, es Elohei, ha-goyim, ohem, pen yesh bochem, again, this is a very long pasuk. There is amongst you, and this is really good stuff here, shoresh, a root, poireh, Pyre means it's blossoming. Rosh, the la'ana. Rosh and la'ana are two herbs. Bitter, poisonous things that grow from the ground. Maybe there's someone here in the Jewish people that is beginning to sprout with in his heart a horrible source of poison that will one day spread and destroy and poison the entire Klal Yisrael. Now, this is a very long pasuk. It's unusually long. It's not your typical type of pasuk. Pasukim are usually much shorter than this. It's a very long pasuk, and it repeats itself. If you were writing this pasuk, you would very obviously put a period after the word Hagoyim Mohim and start again. Just like it says here, Pen Yesh Bochem, so you would assume that the next pasuk should begin Pen Yesh Bochem. Right? Wouldn't that be logical? Mark, if you were making the psukim, if you were in charge of putting this into text, wouldn't you make this into two psukim? The first part would be, Pen yesh bochem, isha isha asher, oy meshvach, oy shevet, asher, levavofon, ayom, meyim, asher, mokeinu, oleches la'avoid, es elohei ha-goyim hohen. Period. Soif posuk. And now we begin the next pasuk. Pen yesh bochem, shoresh, poire, roish, v'la'ano. It's very surprising that this is one pasuk. Very surprising. You would expect this to be two pasukim, especially if the pasuk begins with the expression Pen Yesh Bochem, and here you have the same exact expression, this should be now the beginning of another pasuk. And yet it's one long run-on sentence. That itself is a tremendous chiddush. Rav Moshe Feinstein, he held, I told you this once, Rav Moshe Feinstein said that we have a tradition of how many pasukim there are. I don't remember all the details, but he says there's something wrong. And it has to be there are really more psukim in the Torah than we have it. Lamai Nafkamina, he once did this, and I once saw this happen, where they lay, the halacha is that if you lay on Shabbos, two psukim, you're not yoytze, and the person has to, the person makes a bracha rishon, Baruch Hu Es Hashem Hamavarach, and then they lay for him two psukim, and then he goes, and then he makes the concluding bracha, Baruch Atah Hashem Kinim Elchilom Hashem Nosan Lanu Teras Anes. And then you realize you only laying two psukim. It says in Shulchan Aruch, it's as if you did nothing. You're not yoytze. It's not counted as an aliyah. And you have to read the aliyah, you have to do it all over again and make new brachas. You're not yoytze. So there was a ma'is ha-shehoya where they did this. Rav Moshe was there. It happened very quickly. And Rav Moshe was not able to stop them. And they laying two psukim. And the guy made the bracha, Rishon, Bracha Achareinu. And Rav Moshe said, do not repeat. Because since this pasuk is such a big pasuk, it's such a massive pasuk, it's very likely that in truth it's really three psukim. And if it's three psukim, then you yoytze. It's just not mistaver that it's there's such a massive pasuk. It's very likely really it's two psukim and it's a mistake with the way we have in our chumash. Now, Mark, you need groisa plates to do that. You need groisa plates of Rav Moshe to do that. I saw this happen in shul once. When they lay in two psukim, two very long psukim, and the person who lay in stopped and they made the bracha, and then they realized they laid only two psukim. So the rabbi right away said, Shulchan Aruch, two psukim, you have to do it all over again. And it was going through my mind, this is such a too long psukim. If Rav Moshe was here, Rav Moshe would probably say, don't do it. Because since it's such long psukim, you could assume that really it's more than two psukim. But Rav Moshe is not here. So who's going to take the achrayis? Rav Moshe is not here, so who's going to take the achrayi? So therefore they landed again. Now, in this pasuk, we have over here, now what would happen if it would say in the pasuk, Ulai yeshbochem, isho isho, imishbocho ishevet. And then it would say again, Ulai yeshbochem. Would you even blink? No, because the word ulai and the word pen are basically exactly the same thing. That's not true. There's a fundamental difference. Whenever you have the word ulai, it means maybe, but buried within the maybe is, I hope it will come true. I want it to come true. And when you say pen, it means maybe, I don't want it to happen. Moshe, Sarah said about Hagar, ulai ibane hemena. Maybe I will be built up through Hagar. She wanted it to happen. She wanted to be the foster mother of Yishmael and raise him, raise him as a Yerushalayim. Eliezer said to Avraham, what's going to happen if I can't find the shidduch for Yitzchak? Ulai lo soyveh ha'isha. Eli, because he wanted that he should not be able to find the shidduch there, so that Yitzchak would marry his daughter. So whenever it says the word ulai, it means maybe, but I really do want it to happen. Whenever it says the word pen, it means I really do not want it to happen. Moshe here does not want it to happen that people in Klal Yisrael are going to worship Avodah Zarah. That's why he says the word pen. Pen, I sure hope it doesn't happen. I sure hope it's not going to be amongst your men or women or family or shevet, that man, woman, a mishpacha family, or a tribe. Okay? And Mark, there's nothing in between. See, if Moshe Rabbeinu was living in the 21st century, what would they say? There's nothing in between. A man or a woman, a family or a shevet, asher levavo, his heart, fonei hayom, turns away today, me'im Hashem Eloheinu, l'leches, to go and to worship, es Elohei ha'goyim ohem, the gods of these nations. And then he says, pen yesh b'chem, maybe there is amongst you, I hope not, a shoresh, a root of a person, or a family, or anyone that's poireh. Poireh means it's beginning to blossom. It's beginning to bud. Rosh v'la'ana. Rosh and la'ana are the names of herbs. Bitter herbs. A person that is a bitter, poisonous person that's going to destroy Klal Yisrael from within. And notice this, there is destruction from without and from within. We're going to see the goyim, we're going to see from within. Let's see the Rashi. Rashi, Pasuk Yizayin, says, Pen yesh bochem lefichach, therefore, ani tzarech lehashbi achem. I have no choice but to adjure you, to make you swear that you're not going to go follow in the ways of the goyim. And then it says in Pen yesh bochem shema yesh bochem. And what's going on? Why does Rashi say shema yesh bochem on the second time it says Pen yesh bochem? Would you not expect for Rashi to say Pen yesh bochem on the first time? No, I take that back. That's a mistake what I just said. Rashi is going back on the same thing. He's just repeating, going back. He's just saying two things. He's saying over here, the literal translation, and he's also telling us the concept. I have to make you take a shvua that you're not going to worship idols because this may happen. And then when he explains what the word pen means, means shema yesh bochem, asher lo fona hayom, melekabel esarbis. Maybe there's a person here that his heart has turned away, and this individual refuses to accept the bris. Shoresh, pare rosh v'ana. Shoresh, what is a shoresh? Megadel esev mar. The root that is megadel, that will one day blossom in esev mar, a bitter grass. Kigidin shehe morin, like gidin. An esev mar, that's gidin. What is gidin? Sinews? I'm not sure what this means. Maybe that's rosh and lano. Kiloimar, mafre umar beresha bekirban. So whatever it says, kiloimar, Rashi means to say, don't take the pasuk literally, but understand the depth of what the pasuk really means to say. It means there might be amongst you a person that is mafre, that is multiplying umar beresha wickedness within yourselves. Now let's see what it says over here in the Matzari. Maybe we'll find over here some hidden gems. Pasuk Yud Zayin in the Matzari to explain what's really going on in the Targum of the Rashi. Pini. Wait. We have to first read the Pasuk. The Targum. Dilma. So number one, we learn over here, this is Aramaic. And this word we know from the Talmud. Pen means Dilma, maybe. Isbuchon, there is amongst you, Givar man. I eat a woman. I or Zari. Zar means a mishpacha. He translates a mishpacha as Zari. I shift her tribe. Dilibe, whose heart. Pini is turning. Yoimodain today. Mi dachlisa, away from the fear. He's adding a word to the pasuk. The pasuk doesn't say that. The pasuk says shel levofone hayoim. He's adding and turning his heart away from fearing. Being a yore shamayim. It does not say that in the pasuk. The targum has added this word into the pasuk, which is a very great revelation of the Targum's understanding. The Targum does this all the time. When he talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he always does this. It's a consistent theme. Whenever you talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not something that we can relate to. You cannot write, this is like one of the most popular concepts in the Targum. The Pasuk, when you read the Pasuk, it thinks like, oh, Hashem is right in front of you. Buddy, buddy, you're my buddy, Hashem. I talk to you like I talk to my next door neighbor. Impossible. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is infinite beyond infinite. Man has absolutely no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not even a nothing of imagining that you can go and you can have a conversation. So whenever it talks about HaKadosh Baruch Hu in these type of terms, it means a person who has no fear of Hashem. He always adds the word fear. And he distances Hashem with other words. You know who says? The Rambam says this. The Rambam, because the Targum does not tolerate reading the Psukim and talking and describing Hashem as if he's your buddy. He's not your buddy. Hashem is above and beyond. And every time you translate a Pasuk, you have to embellish the Pasuk with words to acknowledge Hashem is not one of the guys. He's not one of the guys. He's above and beyond. And therefore, in this passage, when it says, maybe there's amongst you a man or a woman or a family or shevet whose heart is beginning to turn away today from Hashem, Meyim Hashem, he's not your buddy, from fearing Hashem. When you put the word fearing, the word fear in between Meyim Hashem, that creates a different flavor that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is beyond. And our duty in this world is to fear Hashem. Goes back to the Targum. Targum Dilma is b'chon gevar itus or zari or a family or yeshivta. Delibe is hard. Pini yoimodein midachlisa. Dachlisa means the fear. Dashem elo kano limhoch. What is this man going to do? He's going to go. Limhoch means to go. Limiflach is to worship. Yos avodah zara. Notice he's translating to avos. Amamaya, the Elohei, the gods of the Goyim. Es Elohei HaGoyim. How does he translate Elohei HaGoyim? The mistake, the Tavos, the same exact translation as the word Gilulehem, Golol. How could you translate the word Gilulehem and the word Elohei HaGoyim the same exact translation as mistake? That's exactly the point. That's what the Targum does. The Targum is not giving you a necessarily literal translation. The Targum is giving you a commentary. He's in a very nuanced way. He's giving you a commentary of words. He did not do the, more often than very often, he does not translate the words literally. He's telling you commentary. Okay, so this is an example. Yos Tavos Amoha Inun, these gods. Dilma, now we go to the second part. Isbechon Givar, a man. Now look at this. This is explosive what he says. We said before, a man that's this shoyresh, is blossoming a root, shoyresh, poire, par means, I translate par means to like peru urivu. There's a root of multiplication. Rashi said the word migadel. Megadel is the translation of the word pore, like peru urevu, multiply and increase. And he disagrees. Agevar meharher, and when it says roish v'la'ana, which we translate as bitter herbs, he translates chatin, roish means a sin, an inadvertent sin, a sin that is done b'shogeg, oizodoin, la'ana is a sin that is done b'mezid, intentionally. Okay, so there's a lot of explosive chidushim here, which is obviously Rashi was irritated by what the Targum said, and that's exactly why Rashi went and had to very politely reject almost every word of this pasuk and tell you, Rabbi Isai, listen to me. Don't be influenced by what the Targum is telling you. Just like the pasuk says, don't be influenced by strangers. Don't be influenced by the commentator here. Listen to me. Okay, let's see what it says over here in the Ma'at Tzori. Pini means to turn. Maybe there's a guy here whose heart has aroused him to turn away. Pini ponui, targum levavofo nelibo ponui. Okay. Midach lisa, to fear. Hoisef. The Targum has injected an additional word. Okay, that's the typical. Okay, this is classic. This is a classic Targum. He's adding the word to fear. Givar, a man. Tirgum kavonis hamoshel shel shorish per v'lana. Zigim givar shu kimo hamil ish b'tchilas haposuk. So the Targum here, I didn't realize this. When it says, oh, pen yesh bochem, maybe there is amongst you. So the Targum added, pen yesh bochem ish. The Targum translates the pasuk as if it says in the pasuk the word ish. It doesn't say the word ish. It says, pen yesh bochem shoresh poire rosh v'lana. He says, maybe there is amongst you an ish, a person that is thinking, is maharher. Where do you get that? Where do you get the word shoresh to mean maharher? Now here he says, over here, he's saying over here something that's very, very deep, very profound. And the Bali must talk about this. Meharher, l'shoyna, so he says meharher, he says, comes from the word hey royon. There's a lot of stuff here. What is a thought? A thought, the word maharher comes from the word hey royon, pregnancy. When a person has a thought, it's as if he is pregnant. Now that's a very, very dangerous concept. Because when a woman is pregnant, what does that mean? It means something is going to come out. Maybe the baby, whether dead or alive, once a woman is pregnant, it doesn't just dissolve and go away. There's no such thing. When a woman is pregnant, whatever she's pregnant, whatever is inside, is coming out. Hopefully it'll come out a healthy, successful human being, or sometimes, Rachmana Litzlan, it can be a stillborn, it can be earlier than that, but it's going to come out. Now, this is a very frightening concept. Chazal deliberately taught us that a machashava, a thought, is like pregnancy, which means every machashava will ultimately blossom and come out. It's going to come out of your system one way or another. They say that a rabbi, this is a famous expression for people who are in the rabbinic field, a rabbi is pregnant with a drasha. He's pregnant with a drasha, which means if a rabbi prepares a drasha, he comes to a simcha, they told him you're going to speak, or even if they did not tell him he's going to speak, he prepared just in case they ask him to speak. And he has what to say. Guess what? He's going to say it one way or another. If a rabbi prepares a drasha, he's pregnant with that drasha. He's going to say it. If they don't let him speak at this event, so you know what? He'll say it at another event. He'll say it, it's going to come out one way or another. The truth is, every single person is like that. When a person has a hirhur, a thought, whether it's a thought to do a mitzvah, a thought to do an avera, a thought, an idea, that thought doesn't just disappear. It will express itself in the real world one way or another. And that's why the word hirhur, which we translate as a thought, it comes from the word pregnancy. So he says over here, meharher, l'shoin heroyon, shamachshava haheroyon shaladibur. Now what is the typical? A thought is like the pregnancy of dibur. When a person speaks, it's like he's born. It's like leida. And what he's planning to say, the machshava, is the heroyon, is the conception. Oy shalamaisa, or if he has a thought, the thought may ultimately result in an action. Now, kosav hagro, machashava, hu shemachashev maladaber. Person thinks what to say. Aval inim etzayir dibur. But the word machashava does not relate to the word dibur. Here hurhu shemetzayir dibur bahirhur bahir. Let's read a little bit more and come back. Hamachshava hi b'moyach veharhirhu b'leiv. Atkan. Now, he's saying a very deep concept, the Gros. The Gros is saying that we have a problem. The problem is, in Hebrew, there are two words to describe thought. One word is hirhur, and one word is machashava. What is the difference? The difference is, machshava is pure thought. It's a thought that you plan to keep in your head. You're thinking, but you're not thinking. It says, maladaber, you're thinking about a concepts. When you have the word hirhur, it is a thought that you intend to say. If you're in a conversation with somebody, and he's speaking, and you want to answer, you just want to wait until he finishes talking so you can respond. So you, in your mind, you have what's called a hirhur, because that hirhur. A hirhur shemetzayer dibur. The other way around. I made a mistake. If you have a conversation, and someone says something to you, and enters into your mind a thought, that thought that you're thinking, this is what I will respond. That is called a machshava. A hirhur is something that you keep to yourself. You have an idea, a business idea, you have an insight. It's a thought that is not part of the process of a conversation. That's called a hirhur. A machashava is a thought that goes into your mind as the hakdama to what you're going to say. Now, when you take that idea and you plug it into the pasuk ubira mikrohu hitagim yushalmi shamahara bechet doime l'shoresh hakavua baritz, to a root in the ground shetchilasei mosuk kedvash, it's sweet, but v'soifer mar kila anas hamoves, at the end it's bitter, right? It's bitter. Like la'ano, like something that's poison. La'ano means some type of vegetation which is poisonous. So what he's saying over here, maybe there's a person, now we go back to the pasuk, but the person says, pen yesh b'chem ish yishol m'zor shavet asher levoy fo'na ha'yemim shavokeinu, a person that's going to turn, l'leches la'avoid, yepen yesh b'chem shoresh, poire roish v'la'ano. So the Targum translates the word shoresh as a hirhur. Right now, the person is silent. The person is not promoting Avodah Zarah. He doesn't have a radio show. He doesn't have a podcast. He doesn't have a YouTube channel where he's promoting Avodah Zarah. It's a hirhur. It's an idea he has in his mind. But the end is going to be that this is going to become poison. It's in the incipient state. such an early state where it's only called a hirhur, as the Targum says. Ubir hamikuhu, it means Kitargum Yushami, Mehar Hirhur, Hamshamahar Bechet, Doimel Shurish, it's like a root in the Kvub Aritz, it's sweet. But the Siva Markilas, again, just to read these words, we'll finish a person who's Rosh Velana. Targum translates Chatin, which means inadvertent sins, and Zodin means bemazed with intent, Tzarchin. Madu Targum Chatin Loshen Rabim, Zodin Loshen Yochid. Venir Sherosh Eina Markamo Halana, Velchen Targum Rosh Chatoin, Velano Zodin, Vaina Shosel El. Okay, I don't know, just mixing up ideas of it, that Rosh is sweet, because an inadvertent sin, you know, can be reversed. But when it says la no is bitter, that's done b'nezid. Okay, we're going to go over this link tomorrow. I'm not going to read inside, but I want to show you tomorrow how this is kind, how you read the Rashi. Now that we know where the Targum is, we go back to the Rashi. See, Rashi over here is giving us a very different idea in this passage. And that'll be a show we'll have to do tomorrow because we're out of time. Thank you very, very much for coming. Have a wonderful
good
night.
Good night, everybody.
I believe it's thank you.
Have a good trip.
Mark already left. Mark already is. He went to Meyer. Went to Mincha Meyer. Whatever it is.
Good night, everyone.
Yashkar, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.